Welcome to Lines of Honorable Men. Again, this is Dr. Leroy Thompson Jr. Glad to be with you again. Last class we were together, we began to talk about the purpose of the church. And we went over the first purpose of the church, which is to be connected to heaven for the purpose of revealing the Father. And so it's impossible for us to reveal the Father if we're not connected to heaven or connected to his presence to know what he wants. The second purpose of the church, and all this come out of Matthew's with Jesus, I think it's Matthew 16, where Jesus is talking to Peter about who do men say that I am, and Jesus gave the three purposes of the church. The second purpose of the church is to shut down the gates of hell. Now, Jesus came to destroy every trace of sin, every trace of evil, every trace of things not working right. You know, it says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That's Galatians 3:13. What does that mean? Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. It simply means this. Redeemed means to be put back in a former position. Other words, so what former position were we put back in? We were put back in the position that Adam and Eve were in before they sinned or before they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I will get into the significance of that in a few moments. But Christ redeemed us or put us back in a former position. So because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, we're able to operate in the earth realm just like Adam and Eve operated in the earth realm. Now, I've gone over this before, but you must understand the difference between us and Adam and Eve. God did it one way with Adam and Eve, in which he created them, placed them in perfection. He placed them in perfection and was going to spend time with them, teaching them about imperfection, so that they themselves can have, because they were made in the image of God, just like you and I are made in the image of God. So they were going to be able to correct imperfections, because the Garden of Eden was only a specific place in the whole earth. Grab that now. The Garden of Eden was only a specific or general area in the whole earth, just like the United States is not the whole earth, but the United States is in the earth. So the Garden of Eden was that same way. So how do I know that? Because where did God send Adam and Eve once he expelled them from the garden? He expelled them into outer darkness. What was that? It was the other part of fallen earth. All right. So they were supposed to train. Eden was a training ground for them to be trained in. Now, here's the thing. Jesus came to destroy all the works of the devil. Go to 1 John, the third chapter. 1 John, the third chapter. 1 John, the third chapter. And on my notes, I only write the scripture down. This is how I do my notes. I write a scripture down and I put a dash and maybe one or two words so it can jog my memory about what that scripture is about, the reference of that scripture. Because I like to turn the scriptures. Why do I like turning the scriptures? I like turning the scriptures because it gets me familiar with the Bible. It gets me familiar going through the Bible, whether it's on my phone, whether it's on my iPad, or whether I'm actually have a physical Bible. It allows me to turn. Then it allows me to turn during class so that those that may not be as familiar with the Bible can have the practice to turn to. Look, take your time. Look, my Bible has indexes. All right. That's the kind of Bible always, because let's be honest. Some people, my daughters know it, may know it because they went to a Christian school and they had a song made up all the books of the Bible. I know the books of the Bible. I know when I hear the books of the Bible, but I don't know them in order and I don't know where they all at. So I got to go. I need a table of contents and I need an index. So don't feel bad if you need to do an index or you don't know everything in the Bible. Listen, I've been preaching for over 30 years. I'm preaching about 16, so I've been preaching over 30 years. So I don't know where all the books of the Bible at. Sometimes I quote a scripture, don't know where it's at. I got to go find out where the scripture at. But the point is, I know what the Word of God says. So don't feel bad if you having trouble finding scriptures. Get a table of contents. You always go to your table of contents. Ain't no shame in that. If you need an index, get an index. Because once you get to that, once we get to 1 John 3:8, you see what it reads, then you're able to hide that word in your heart. Because remember now, the Bible, books of the Bible, and scriptures and verse were written so that we can have a point of reference. The Bible wasn't originally broken up like this. It was all one book, a collection of books, and that become what's called canonized, meaning spoke of me, breathed on by the Holy Spirit to be put together. So when I say 1 John 3:8, take your time, get there. So hopefully I've talked enough so you can get to 1 John 3:8. So let's read it. 1 John 3:8, it says, he that committed sin is of the devil. Now, it didn't say that somebody that sinned is of the devil. He said he that committed sin. Committed sin means to practice. He that practices sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. Now watch this. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I just saw that. It says that for the purpose of the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, why is that word might there? Because might makes that scripture conditional. That word might is there because God wants to keep you in the loop of choosing. See, let's go back to Adam and Eve, as I said earlier. Adam and Eve had everything at their beck and call. God put the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the middle of the garden, in the midst of the garden. He didn't hide it. He didn't put barbed wire around it. He didn't rope it off. He didn't have caution tape around it. He put the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the center of the garden so that Adam and Eve can have a choice. A choice of what? That's the question. What choice was Adam and Eve making? Now, remember, the second purpose of the church is to shut down the gates of hell. Now, Adam and Eve was supposed to be trained how God thinks and how God operates so that when he eventually loosed them in the outer darkness, they will be prepared to do exactly what they learned in the garden. Because remember how God created created the heavens and earth. He spoke it into existence. He turned around and gave us that dominion. He set it up how he wanted it done, gave us that dominion, and say, now I'm going to let you be fruitful and multiply. That was not just talking about having children. Being fruitful and multiplying simply means I want you to be productive like I'm productive and you get results like I get results. If you follow my productivity, you're going to get the results I got. That's what God was telling them. If you follow the productivity that I'm training you to do, then you'll have the fruit or the results. So they were going to be able to go into outer darkness and be able to create light, be able to straighten things out. Because they were given that dominion. But what did Adam and Eve choose? Let's think about this. Matter of fact, let's go to, because I need you to see this. Let's go to Genesis. Genesis, the third chapter. Now, you shouldn't have to use your table of contents for that. All your index. It's the very first book in the Bible. Genesis. Glory to God. Genesis, the third chapter. Let's get there. Genesis, the third chapter. Are you there? Now, previous to this, the first two chapters were really describing how God created earth, what God gave man, what dominion God gave man, what powers man had because of God. And so we get to the third chapter, and it's verse. And it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, or the middle of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in that day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Verse 6 is very important. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. I never saw that. A tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, this is going to validate my point because I never seen this statement. See, one thing about the Word of God, you can never exhaust the Word of God. You can read one scripture over and over, and God can tell you something clearly different about the scripture every time you read it. That's what just happened to me when I say, thank you, Holy Spirit. I saw this, and it's going to further validate what I'm about to tell you. Look at that statement. It said, and a tree to be desired, verse 6, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof. Now, she ate off the tree because it would make her what? Wise. So the question is, what choice did Adam and Eve make? It's very simple. Your life will never be the same. Adam and Eve simply made a choice of where they want to receive their source of information from. You never forget this. The choice that Adam and Eve made was where and who they wanted to get their source of information from. Were they going to get it from God? Or were they going to get it from their surroundings that is influenced by the devil? That's the two choices. That's the choice they had. God said, don't eat off the tree. I'm going to spend time with you. And I'm going to teach you properly about evil, because you're going to have to know about evil. Because when I see you to the outer darkness, that's where evil is. Evil does not exist in, watch this, evil does not have power over you in this garden. Evil can only make suggestions to you, but you have power to overcome it because I'm teaching you what to do. But when Satan came in with what he always comes in with is a lie. He comes in and questions God's instructions. Question what God does. Lies. And so he convinced Eve to eat off the tree. Now, ultimately, you can blame the devil, but you ultimately have to blame Eve and Adam. Adam preferably. I had to blame them. Because God told them what to do, but they chose to get their source of information from somewhere else. So that's how sin entered into the earth realm. That's how sin entered into man. Sin was already here. Satan was already in the realm because it said the serpent was subtle. Watch this. This is how confident God is in us. God didn't block Satan from getting in the Garden of Eden. Just like God is not going to block Satan from making suggestions to you. You're going to have to be strong enough through the Word of God, Romans 12 and 2, renewing your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but renew your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that ye may be able to what? Prove. What prove means? Recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you're able to recognize and choose. Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. I had lost my spot. Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. What that means, Jesus put us in a formal position, a position that was already held by mankind, that we can choose between hearing the voice of God or hearing the voice of our surroundings. See, sin comes from our surroundings. If we train ourselves to hear the voice of God, which Jesus gave us the ability to do. When you become born again, when you became born again, what does that mean? You became a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. When you became a new creature in Christ, what you're really saying is that your spirit was lying dormant, but again became alive unto God. Became reconnected to your original creator. See, Satan can't access your spirit. He can only access your thoughts. He can only access your soul. God is the only one that can access your spirit. So when you, and sin disconnected, sin, the wages of sin is death, or separation from God. When you sin, or when you was born into sin, you were separated from God. But Jesus, through his blood, calls you to be reconnected to God as your Father. So now your spirit comes alive to God. So now you have a means of communication to God, so that your source of information is not limited to your surroundings. The source of your answers is not limited to your surroundings. Deliverance is not limited to your surroundings. Because you're connected to God, you now have access into the supernatural realm, that you can access answers that dominate the natural realm. Jesus dying on the cross put us back in that position. Put us back in that position. See, just because you're in a position don't mean you're going to produce. See, put you back in that position, but you have to spend time with God in order to know how. Just like Adam and Eve. How I know Adam and Eve, God was spending time with Adam and Eve? Because God came looking for them after they sinned, and they hid themselves from God. Like you can hide yourself from God, but they didn't know. They hid themselves from God. And God went in the cool of the day looking for them. And God had the question, well, why y'all hiding? What's going on? Then that's when God, hey, you ate off the tree. They decided to get their source of information from somewhere else. See, Jesus came to destroy every trace of sin, sickness and disease, and every poverty. He came to destroy all of that, which simply means we can get our source of information from somewhere else besides our surroundings. So you have to understand that. If you don't understand that, then you're not going to effectively reveal the Father. See how this connected? You're not going to effectively reveal the Father unless you understand that he is your source of information. He is your source of everything. So when he's your source of everything, then your surroundings and your environment is shut down. In other words, the gates of hell is shut down in your environment, because the gates of hell only are going to release onto you the detriments of your surroundings without God. Jesus gave us the ability, the power to shut down the gates of hell. Now, why is this important that you learn this on the individual basis? Because if you can't shut down the gates of hell in your life, then how is God going to use you to shut down the gates of hell in the earth? Because remember now, when I'm talking about the church, the three purposes of the church, the three purposes of the church is to get connected to heaven, reveal the Father, and to reveal the Father, shut down the gates of hell, and to extend the kingdom of God without limitations. When I say the church, I'm talking about you. You are the church. You are the ecclesia. You are the body of Christ. So that means in my life, I have to be connected to heaven so I can reveal the Father. I have to shut down the gates of hell in my life, and I have to extend the kingdom without limitations in my life before God can use me to do it for others. Watch this. In Jesus dying, there's three things he's done. Number one, we're in John 1 and 3, John 1 John 3 and 8. Through his living, or incarnate word, the living word, he destroyed all the works of the devil. So Jesus came to destroy all the works of the devil. He came to destroy everything Satan meant for your evil. God means, that's Romans 8:28. Everything Satan meant for your evil, God means for your good. God has the innate ability of turning everything that's going wrong in your life and make it turn out right. But you have to change sources of information. You can't get your source of information from your surroundings. You have to get it from God. So watch this. Through his dying, he destroyed all the power of the devil. Through his resurrection, he destroyed all the presence of the devil. This is powerful. Watch this. Through his indestructible life in us, he destroyed all the seeds of the devil. Now watch this. Go back to this one. Through his dying, he destroyed all the power of the devil. Go to Hebrews, the second chapter. Hebrews, the second chapter. So Jesus did all these things so that we can have access to God, so that we can boldly, Hebrews 4 and 16, we can boldly come into the throne room of grace where we can find mercy in a time of trouble. See, you understand that Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection put you in a position of power. The reason why a lot of people don't experience that power in their lives is because as soon as Satan brings an attack, they begin to look at their surroundings for answers rather than going to the inside where God lives for answers. See, this is necessary for you to train how to do this for your own life, because if you can't train to do this for your own life, you won't be able to do it for others. You won't be able to bring others in. You won't be able to minister to others because you're always having issues with yourself. See, this is one of the things about the fivefold ministry gifts. The fivefold ministry gift, Ephesians 4 and 11. He gave us those gifts to do, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, or the maturing of the saints. We're going to go over these scriptures over and over. So that the saints can do the work of the ministry, so the body of Christ can be edified or be built. The fivefold can't cause maturity if they're not matured. See, this is why I don't believe in no young apostles. Mm-mm. When you start realizing what an apostle does, what an apostle is responsible for, not only what an apostle is responsible for in the natural, but what an apostle is responsible for in the supernatural. The apostle in the supernatural has power over territorial demons. Principalities. There are principalities that Satan has set up in certain areas of this world, in certain industries, in certain cultures that only an apostle can deal with. And those that connected to the apostle synergizes with the apostle to deal with those principalities. Because the reason why an apostle can deal with that principality is because an apostle is coming to establish the kingdom of God, or establish God's agenda. So God never get somebody born again, then turn around and immediately start using them. Why? Go through your Bible. You won't find it. Everybody that God used mightily in the Bible went into a wilderness, a hiding behind a mountain, out in the wilderness. Moses went to the mountain, went out in the wilderness, herding sheep before he came back. He left Egypt, came back. David, where he was, out tending sheep by himself. What was the purpose of this? Elisha served Elijah for a number of years. I can go on. Listen, here's the biggie. Here's the big one. Jesus waited 30 years before he began his ministry. If the very man, the Lamb of God, the Alpha and the Omega, the Rose of Sharon, the Bright and Morning, if he had to train for 30 years, what makes you think you're going to turn the world upside down after studying the Word of God for 2-3 months? What makes you think that's going to happen? What makes you think that's going to happen? Well, it's not. So this is why we have God structured the government in the church like he structured, so that the continuation of his agenda can be carried on. So look, he said through his dying, Hebrews, the second chapter. Let me get to it. Hebrews, the second chapter. And the 14th verse. For then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. That's why Jesus can say, oh, death, Apostle Paul wrote, oh, death, where is thy sting? Verse 15, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So Jesus came to destroy all the power of death. Death, what that really mean? Death mean dying, as in no longer existing? No, death means separation. He destroying everything that could separate you from God. Glory to God. Jesus came to destroy everything that can separate you from your original creator. That's what Jesus did. Watch this. Through his resurrection, he destroyed all the presence of the devil. Go to with me to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians 15. Wow. Through his resurrection, he destroyed all the presence of the devil. 1 Corinthians 15. This is powerful. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 55. He says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus, through his resurrection, destroyed the presence of the devil. How could that be? Because he took everything from Satan that can stop us from being separated from God. So Hebrews 4 and 16. Go to Hebrews 4 and 16. Hebrews 4 and 16. Hebrews 4 and 16 can become a reality in your life. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you did last night. I don't care. Matter of fact, I taught a message one time about the communion table. We ought to do this in remembrance of him. I said, when you sin, you ought to be running towards the table rather than away from the table, of communion. You'll be running towards communion. When you in trouble or you got issues or you got something going on, don't run away from the presence of God. Run to the presence of God. Watch what it says in Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace, be empowered to help in a time of need. That's what the blood of Jesus, that's what Jesus' resurrection did. Jesus' resurrection gave us total access to the presence of God. Praise God. Watch this. Through his indestructible life in us, he destroyed all the seeds of the devil. Go to Galatians 2:20. Again, through his indestructible life in us, he destroyed all the seed of the devil. So that sin consciousness that we were born with has been destroyed because Jesus lives on the inside of us. Now, are we going to recreate those seeds? How can you recreate those seeds? By allowing your source of information to come from your surroundings. When you allow your source of information to come from your surroundings, you are replanting the seeds of the devil. Because remember, the Bible says he's the God of this world. So when you get your information from the outside rather than on the inside, you're taking information from the outside and planting on the inside, giving seeds for to grow. Through his indestructible life in us, his indestructible life, Jesus, remember, Jesus is a seed. His indestructible life planted in us. He destroys all the seeds of the devil. Galatians 2:20. Praise God. Watch what it says in Galatians 2:20. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So here it is, I am crucified with Christ. What do you mean? I sacrifice. Now Christ, the indestructible life of Christ lives on inside of me, so it destroys all the seed of the devil. So if evil comes in my life and I can't overcome it, it's something I've let inside me that has taken root that I got to uproot. And the only way I can uproot it is I got to go to God in my time of need and say, God, I need help. What am I doing? What fix this? What's going on? And your source of information will cause you, your God, his presence. Remember, you got access to the information, you got access to his presence, you got a indestructible life on the inside of you. Come on, you can't lose. You cannot lose with all that working on you. All you got to do is make sure you get your source of information from the inside rather than the outside. So again, we've dealt with two other purposes of the church, or purposes that you have because you're part of the church. One is to be connected to the Father so that he can be revealed. Number two, to shut down the gates of hell. Next week, we're going to deal with extending the kingdom beyond without limitation. Extending the kingdom without limitations. I bless you. I had a good time with you. Go over these lessons again. Get this on the inside of you. Understand what Adam and Eve did so that you don't make the same mistakes, because Satan has no new tricks. Every time he gets you to try to get you off track, he gives you a lie. Now, the difference is, the more mature you get, watch this now, listen, the more mature you get, the more his lies become deceptive. And so that's why you need to spend time with God consistently, because he realized when he can't trick you no more, he's just going to try to turn up the heat. But when he turn up the heat, you turn up your heat. What you mean? The Holy Ghost, spending time with God the Father, knowing what's in the mind of God. I bless you. Have a good day.